Hey guys, hi Real Talk family. It's your host EJ. Thank you so much for tuning in to the season finale recap episode. So my people, can you believe it? It's been 4 months already. Time truly does fly when you're having fun. And guys, thank you for coming on board and supporting my podcast journey. It's been amazing. I've had to make some mistakes and some of you have given me great feedback, and that has helped me to grow and to improve. And I'm looking forward to continuing to do this, to bring more information your way, and for us to learn to change our life together. So this past 4 months, I've had the privilege of engaging in real conversations with Black men and women from different walks of life and backgrounds to highlight and to discuss a number of social injustice issues, including sexual violence, domestic violence, emotional abuse, police brutality, and racism. Now, although it's time to wrap up season one, the conversation continues in the new year, when we will be back with more real talk on issues such as goal setting, career advancement, entrepreneurship, culture, tradition, singlehood, relationship, marriage, and so much more. I have already started recording episodes on subjects like living with special needs, supporting women to venture into business and entrepreneurship, and culture. Guys, I cannot wait to share these episodes with you. They are truly information-packed and will trigger real change. You know, I'm all about real change in this podcast. I want to encourage and provoke deeper thinking, get us to reflect on our personal practices, and get us to truly change our lives and the lives of those around us. So guys, if you know me, I like research, I like evidence, and I like to do analysis. So before we get into the season recap, I'd like to share with you some statistics of the podcast. So over the last 4 months, the podcast is in 14 different countries and 34 cities around the world. And some of those countries include United Kingdom, United States, Ireland, India, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and Canada, my people again over there representing, Netherlands, and even in Croatia. Some of the cities include North South Wales in Australia, California, Oregon, Colorado, Texas, New Jersey, Alabama, and more in the United States, Lagos in Nigeria, North Holland in the Netherlands, Leinster in Ireland, Western Cape in South Africa, and some other cities that I have never heard of are also tuning in to the Unfiltered Real Talk podcast and representing, and that's Istria in Croatia, and Karnataka in India, Maharashtra in India as well, and Telangana in India. Guys, I am so humbled by the support, and I am so grateful that you are coming on this journey with me and that we are learning to shift and change mindsets together as we listen. So, without wasting too much time, I'd like to get right in to the recap. Now, for the top 5 most downloaded episode of the season. First, I like to mention that I am brand new to podcasting and to promoting on social media. So overcoming this learning curve has been new, but quite fun and exciting. So it's quite possible that some of the episodes may not have received the duly rigorous promotion that they should have because, once again, of that learning curve of podcasting. However, I'm certainly going to improve and grow in the new year. So, number 5 spot is episode 6, Practical Solutions for Institutional Change. In this episode, my guest, Dr. Tope Oriola, a criminologist and a professor at the University of Alberta in Canada, outlines critical issues that limit organizations to effectively address sexual violence in African countries. Here is one of my favorite clips from the episode.
Legislation has to be conducive for putting an end to sexual violence. A fairly significant part of acts of sexual violence against women continue because legislations often allow them, or there are no legislations preventing them or effectively punishing offenders. And I'll give an instance because I've just mentioned something that could be and it's probably quite controversial issues. Because of the patriarchal ideational underpinnings of society, government response, government policy is necessary to address many of these issues. And we find that many African countries, many, not all, are lacking in that regard. The South African constitution, for instance, is one of the most liberal constitutions anywhere in the world, with particular attention to gender equality and so forth. And that provides a kind of policy environment. But that has not necessarily translated to preventing sexual violence.
No, not at all, because they have one of the highest rates of femicide in South Africa.
Absolutely, and in terms of even
governments can utilize right away.
Well, first, overhaul the legislative environment.
Okay.
Second, ensure adequate and effective implementation. And third, ensure that eradication of poverty and illiteracy amongst the female population is top priority. And lastly, promote female role models. That goes a long way in helping the discourse. It might seem not directly connected, but when people can see themselves in top political leadership and so forth, there tends to be an increase in self-esteem and a reduced tolerance for misdemeanor and sexual misconduct around them. So research shows how young boys and girls.
In number four position for the top most downloaded episode is episode 13, End SARS, Which Way Nigeria. In this episode, my guest, Eske, a corrections officer and Adewale of the African Wahala YouTube channel, are Nigerian youth passionate about a better Nigeria. So in this episode, we talk about End SARS, the protest that started in October in Nigeria and resulted in a lot of social movement, just got a lot of attention in the media around ending corruption, ending police brutality and impunity in Nigeria. Adewale has a YouTube channel and he actively speaks out against police brutality, corruption, bad leadership, bad governance, and things like that in the African continent. Here is a clip from our candid conversation from episode 13.
And you see, so that's why I can't hammer this point enough, accountability. Because you see, if you unhoist all your weapon here, you know you have to do a report for it. A report has to be done. It has to be done. And if you are going to take a weapon home, your sergeant has to know about it. Like, you have to sign it out, because when they check, there's a scanning system. Every gun, you know, if there are 1,000 bullets fired in a place and then they send the people who do the investigation to go, they will sort through every bullet and they would know which gun fired the most.
Sorry, I have to cut in. I have to say this. Did you know that there was a day I was in a joint in Abuja, Nigeria, with my cousin? We're just sitting down, chilling, you know, just enjoying ourselves, right? The next table next to us, we noticed there were two guys, mufti, with about six women, just having fun, making noise. They appeared drunk, you know, they were making so much noise, they were having so much fun. Next thing you know, right there and then, one of the guys got up out of his excitement. He pulled out an AK-47.
Oh my goodness.
He shot, the weapon has three fire remotes. Apparently, I found out that day. So there is a single shot fire remote and the automatic, full automatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy let off like six shots on the single shot fire remote, let off like 10 shots on the triple firing mode, and let off a bunch of shots on the automatic. And I was just hearing shells flying all over, falling on the ceiling, on the zinc material of where we're sitting down. You know, I was like, I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared, you know, but I didn't want to chicken out. I didn't want to react, so I wouldn't look like a scared president. I just told my cousin.
And this is all because they were having a good time?
They were just having a good time. So you know, they need to save cost of governance. Stop wasting all that money on those people that are just taking a nap and being hypocrites and liars by calling us hoodlums. Meanwhile, they are also hoodlums. Save all that money, put it towards building infrastructure. At least, that's why we need to go back to the R once again, the restructuring. If we can do this thing regionally, it will be more feasible, okay, as opposed to doing it on the federal level. Crime rate is reducing. You've improved electricity. Now that there is fewer blackouts at night, thieves and robbery will even reduce. You know, so many things. It's like it's not a positive snowball effect. So if they can save some of that money in combination with the restructuring, that will go a very long way in improving the lives of Nigerians.
2 or 3 years ago, I actually wrote a letter to Lagos State, to governor. I actually offered to come and train. I said, even if it's just a small section, I'm not asking to train the whole Lagos State police, because it's never going to happen. I said, I have had the opportunity to learn something here that I think would benefit us back home. You know, and I wrote that letter offering, but you know what? I got nothing back. And what I just want to throw in is this weapons. And I guess it still comes down to accountability. I don't understand. Do you think anyone here can just unhoist the weapon? And no, you can't. If you, even if you have your hand on your weapon and you're speaking to someone and there's no perceived threat, but you as the officer, your hand is on the weapon, you are liable. You are held accountable. You know what I mean?
I want to quickly say something here. Why are Nigerian police officers carrying assault rifles?
Thank you.
I don't know any other country, democratic society matter, that are carrying assault rifles as part of mobile policing activities. Mm-hmm.
The third most popular episode is episode 4, Ending Femicide, with a special guest, Sharon Obiye. Sharon is a longtime friend and a social worker who is passionate about issues impacting children, women, and vulnerable persons. She was the very first guest that I had on the podcast, and as a close friend, she was quick to help me address the kinks and address any hiccups that I had with delivering a solid quality first episode. So she is also the guest on the first 5 episodes that I had on the podcast. We got a lot of positive feedback around these episodes, guys. Sexual violence is a heavy topic, a delicate topic, and quite complex. And discussing the most extreme form of sexual violence can be heavy and difficult. However, we were able to keep our conversation light, relatable, and yet effective in getting the message across. Here are some of my favorite clips from the episode.
Also, oftentimes to be your neighbor's keeper. I know it's important to even me, if I mind my I didn't mind my business die, but you don't see a crime and then turn the other eye. No, like
No, absolutely no. We have to be our brother's keeper.
We have to be our brother's keeper, because sometimes we hear neighbors fighting and you see people like, and you hear someone screaming for help. No one goes out until when they hear, oh, he finally killed her. That's when you come to tell his story. Like, why? Like, I often find those
things too late now.
When the person was breathing and then fully alive, no one steps out to save, and they'll say, oh, don't go and put your mouth, though. It's between the man and his wife. Serious.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think that I think coming from an African culture, that is something that we see a lot in our environment, is a lot of people are like, oh, mind your own business, that's family matter. You know,
you need to settle down and then like wonder why someone who said they loved you at one point would turn around and become a monster at the end.
Like, there was no love there, for sure.
Gruesome, like, to me, is mother on all levels. It's very gruesome, because the pain, I can't even begin to imagine the pain you go through to get to that point.
Yeah, there was no love there. And let's just be clear. If anybody loves you, the last thing they want to do is to dominate you, is to, you know, be lord and judge all over you, you know, to be your executioner, to be your everything. Like, they don't want to suppress you. They don't want to dominate you. They don't want to push you down. And they definitely don't want to be hitting you to the point where you're bleeding and almost losing your life. That is not love.
And no one should deprive you of even growing, like, you know, growth, equipping yourself with the right tools you need.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if anybody tells you, and sometimes when you talk, sometimes it's difficult to talk to people, like that one, I agree, because half the time some people that you talk to are trying to interrogate you. If you sense that, then take a step
back. Yeah, that's a really big issue.
Like, if you sense anything like bots, if anything, like in the midst of the conversation, if bots enters it, honey, please just, you know, take a step back. Take it, because sometimes who you're sharing your, like, the information or experience with can make you feel worse than you felt when the victim, when,
and that's horrible. That.
And that's even worse.
Absolutely.
So if you sense the bots, take a step back, retrace your step back and try and meet some professionals. I know sometimes it's hard in some countries, especially where, like, some of all this, like, you know, social interventions and the organizations that run them are not as famous and as accessible.
Mm-hmm.
The way we actually want it is, never stay silent. Keep talking. Keep speaking the truth. I know sometimes the consequences are often worse than, like, sometimes often information is key. And then equip yourself with a support system. Support system could mean anything. It could be family. It could be friend. It could be your neighbor. Equip yourself with a support system and people that you can call on or rely on when if you see trouble or there's something going wrong, right? Because some of the victims of these things are usually, like, most of them, they kind of isolate them from socializing and keeping in touch with family members. And I'm saying is, no relationship of yours should be able to, like, you know, to, like, isolate you from people that you call, like, friends or family members that love you or have.
Absolutely. And abuse thrives in silence. You know, we've said that before. Yeah. And I think that's exactly where you're going is, if you keep quiet about a situation,
and
it will continue.
Deserve to be beaten. Like, there's no, you don't deserve any form of violence that comes onto you, because sometimes, boy, we can actually see the signs. And if the first time he hits you, honey, it needs.
The second most popular episode in season one is episode 5, Sexual Abuse from the Male Perspective. In this episode, my guest Sharon and I continue the conversation around sexual abuse, but from the male perspective. We felt that this conversation is just something that is not happening in African kitchen tables or in African homes. It is a taboo to talk about sex, let alone sexual abuse and sexual violence. So we thought that this is something that we just had to do. It was near and dear to our heart and really important for us to bring these conversations to the limelight. A lot of our male friends and family members felt that this episode resonated with them. Here are some of my favorite clips from that episode.
Men, they do face additional challenges just because of social attitudes and stereotypes about men, right? And masculinity. So if you're a man, right, you know how it is with the African culture. And I think even over here in the Western environment that Sharon and I reside is, you have to be a man. You have to be strong. You have to be able to just take it. You know, you can't show emotions. It's all about masculinity. And so if you come out as a man and say that you were sexually abused or sexually assaulted, it's a big deal, right? You might not be taken seriously, and it might also somehow diminish who you are as a person, right? Let's talk about that, because I think it's important to understand that men can be sexually assaulted. Young boys are also targets, and it's a serious situation as well. Same gravity as with girls.
It is almost the same situation as well, because some of them, it was their older sister's friend, which is some cases, is the older sister's friend. And in some cases, you find out it's their aunt, like their family, but not blood related kind of aunt. It's like a family friend kind of aunt. Why some of them, high school, they were in boarding house, you know, those that stayed in boarding house. So some of them was their school mothers or were like a senior, right? So those are instances of sexual assault or sexual, like, sexual abuse, because you men do cry. I want to debunk the myth that, oh, they don't. No, it's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry.
But expressing emotions, it's fine. So we need to start that as parents, you're creating a safe space with your boy child to the point don't just think that he's a man so he can handle it. Not everything they can handle. Some things groom. They need you to make them feel safe. You know what? Come to me. You need to start encouraging and grooming our young men. It's okay to experience emotion.
Yes.
We need to start to encourage them to talk about problems and to actually seek help when they need one. we need to start encouraging our boys to, it's okay to express, like, it's okay to talk to people and express emotion and feel things. It's fine. And don't raise them, like, men do cry. I want to debunk the myth that men don't believe, why will I go and talk to somebody for what now? That's usually the reaction you get. And then you really have to break it down and see that sometimes seeking professional help doesn't necessarily mean that you're crazy. What it
means, absolutely.
What it means is it is something bigger than you can handle. So you need an extra hand, someone with the expertise to use the experience to help you walk through what you're going through. And it doesn't make you less of a man, because we've seen that when it comes to the masculinity, as you mentioned before, is a man that is very tough, like, you know, very strong. Like, why would I talk to somebody for what now? And it doesn't change. Like, like, we're trying to encourage you that it's okay for you to seek professional.
Drum roll, guys. This is the moment you've been waiting for. The most popular episode of season one is episode one, Ending Sexual Violence, Understanding the Context. Guys, this was my very first episode in the podcast, and there was so much to learn. I was worried about a lot, but yet it was well received. I got a lot of calls and texts about how easy and engaging it was to understand the context of sexual violence or sexual abuse. And people learned things that they've never heard of before, such as the acronym that my guest Sharon shared, FRIES. Here are some of my favorite clips from episode one.
It's all over the world, and that's what we're trying to raise awareness to break the silence. Because there's one thing I've come to learn, right? As long as a secret is kept, then it would keep happening. But you need to blow the whistle to open up the hood and open up the cap for people to hear that this is a problem. It might not affect you directly, but it is happening in your environment, your next door neighbor. Like, it's happening closer than you think. So it's something.
Absolutely, I agree. It could even be within your family, and because
it's a secret,
like you said, it's kept
so
a secret,
everyone can go blind and be like, "Yeah, it's happening." And then when you hear comments like, "Oh, it's normal," that's when you're like, "What? Wait, like, what?" So when you talk about consent, right? Like, so the consent is a voluntary agreement between two people. So you're voluntarily agreeing to it. You're not implying. It's not implied consent. It's not silent. It's not drunk. It's not unconscious. It's not forced. It is not forced, and it's not because somebody is wearing a miniskirt, then that's consent. That's not consent. No, miniskirt is not consent. That. Unconsciousness is not consent.
That's right.
Drunk. Then just assume that it just agreed because the person is silent. That's not consent between two people. And it's more like, and it brings me down to fries. But you know how you spell fries, right? FRIES. So fries.
That's
so
right.
If you look at when someone is giving consent, it's freely given. It can be reversible.
Right.
It is informed, that's and right. E is for enthusiastic. And
yeah.
S is specific.
Yeah. Specific.
So
that's right.
If you think about it, fries can come in, and even if they agree to it at the beginning, at the initial time, they might the person said sure that you can go ahead. But it can be reversed. That's something to pay attention to. Is if they say no at some point,
absolutely,
then no, it's no. I know it can be difficult when you're in the moment, but listening to people's needs and voices goes a long way. So that's how, like, so when you're seeking, and it's okay to ask. Don't just assume. Ask. If you're not clear, ask for clarification.
And there you have it, guys, the top 5 most downloaded episode of season 1. To wrap up, my people, I hail you, I salute you. I just want to appreciate every single one of you. You are the reason why this podcast has gone international in just 4 months. People are tuning in from all around the world. We are global in such a short time, all because of your support and commitment to listen. You know how they say,
that a prophet is not recognized in his or her hometown? Well, guys, that was just not the case for me. Canada and my home province, Alberta, had the most downloads. So thank you so much to each and every single one of you for tuning in to listen to every new episode and for sharing and rating the podcast. I am deeply humbled and truly grateful for your ongoing support. I feel your love, guys. I really, really do. I'd like to also especially thank all the guests that featured on the podcast this season for sharing their personal and professional experience to illuminate real life issues. Every conversation we have on the podcast is vital to raising awareness on various social issues. So let's make sure to do our part to stand up for those who cannot and to be a voice for the voiceless, and also to support work for a better life for all people. I'd like to take a moment to say a huge thank you to everyone who supported the podcast's first Christmas initiative by donating. So as part of my change agent hashtag under the podcast, I decided to set up a Christmas fundraiser for two charities in my community on Facebook. This was my very first Facebook fundraiser. I really didn't know what to expect, but I just thought that this is a very difficult year that we're in with the pandemic, and I felt the need to do more in supporting and promoting local charities. This was just my own little way of being a change agent. My people, once again, you all showed up for me. This was supposed to be a 12 days to Christmas initiative, so basically 12 days to raise the funds, but we were able to meet our target and go over it in just a total of 4 days. Thank you so much, guys. The money we raised went to us supporting two charities, Hope Mission and Cerebral Palsy Association in Alberta, to continue to do the important work of supporting vulnerable persons in my community. This season and always, I'd like to encourage you to be part of the real change and share kindness by always reaching out and supporting those in need around you. Nothing is ever too small. It may not be a financial contribution. It could be you giving your time or your expertise, or something as simple as donating used items. Let's do more to be part of the real change we desperately want to see in society. As I mentioned, I've already started recording some episodes for season 2. I'm really excited and looking forward to sharing them with you in the new year. But before then, I'd like to take a little break over the holiday. As we say in Nigeria, body no be firewood. So I really have to get some rest and come back refreshed and energized to do more. But perhaps you have some time over the holiday season. You can catch up on the first season episodes or listen again with some friends or with some family members. And if you do, thank you so much. So this is it for season 1, guys. I'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a fabulous New Year ahead. Make sure to celebrate inside and stay safe. I'll see you in January 2021 with an all-new, fun, interesting, and information-packed season 2. Stay tuned for more real talk. As I always say, in everything you do, share kindness and always aspire to inspire real change in your life and in the lives of those around you. This is your host, EJ, signing out with love. See you in the new year.